Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, July 31st. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for Medical Monday comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. Elements HotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Joining us this afternoon to respond to your podiatric questions is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Everybody calls when he's on. Dr. Tooman is a popular guest, and we do get a lot of calls. The call number is 1-800-348-2551. You heard me, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Tooman, your calls, your feet, much more, all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Well, we are back with the Medical Monday. Welcome back, everybody. It is a beautiful day outside, and if you're at home listening, why? In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates, very popular here. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. Dr. Tooman, welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Great to be here.
To participate in today's discussion, 1-800-348-2551. The phones are already beginning to jingle. That's 1-800-348-2551. You can also check in with your questions. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, anyway, so you're a marathoner. Did you read the interesting article in the New York Times this weekend about cardiac and long-term marathon runners? Turns out, according to at least one study, which we'll probably never hear about again, that it's not that good for you.
That's what they say, and Jim Fix would agree.
He would, and he's been long dead.
I don't necessarily agree, but it is the study of the day.
Yeah, it really is. What happens, your blood crystallizes or something like that? I don't really remember.
Yeah, everything in moderation is always best.
Yeah, I believe that.
Exercise, eating.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so anything hot on feet, or shall we just go to calls?
Hot on feet. Well, the pavement in the summertime is certainly hot on feet.
Very funny.
We do get a lot of summertime issues. So while we're here at the last day of July, which is hard to believe.
It's not good.
I mean, no. August and school around the corner, everything else. But we do see a lot of summer-type injuries. People wearing flip-flops and unstructured, unsupportive shoes when they're in shoes the rest of the year, teachers or other people, and they get into their flip-flops and they walk around, they go shopping, and they do all kinds of stuff they don't usually do, and they end up with strained arches and painful feet. So we do see a lot of that. And we see, as a matter of fact, we talked about earlier, lower extremity tick bites in the summertime in the gardens. We've pulled a tick off somebody's foot just last week in the office. And you see.
And when you pull a tick off somebody's foot, what do? You give them, you put them on doxy or what?
Put it in a little jar and give it to them and say, go see your doc.
Go see your doc. Okay. Let's go to Jim in Matamoros. Okay, Jim, here we go. Go ahead, Jim.
It seems like they're making a lot more shoes with synthetic soles now that tend to accumulate gravel in the tread. I would think this would subject the owners to a lot more plantar fasciitis if they contact the sidewalk with gravel embedded.
So the question is the synthetic shoes and the bottom of the shoes picking up gravel in the ridges of the shoes, and is that going to lead to plantar fasciitis? You know, probably not. You know, the shoes, many of them are They're made really well nowadays. Some are very expensive in the running shoe line. Others are really cheap. Your cheap shoes that you get a rock in it, that certainly can, you know, aggravate the foot. But in general, just having some gravel in the bottom of the shoe, as long as you're wearing shoes that are supportive, should be good, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, and we're going to go to Kay in Kerhonkson. Kay in Kerhonkson, thanks for hanging in there. You're on.
Hi, thank you. I'm one of those people who have bad arches, and they seem to be fine for a while, and then I was out walking a while ago, about a month ago, and now my right foot is extremely painful. I can barely walk on it, and I have an ankle bandage on it, and I'm just wondering, is it a fallen arch, and if so, what do I do about it?
Hi, Kay. Good questions, and the answer is hard to tell if you have a fallen arch without looking at it, but certainly swelling and pain can be addressed, and it sounds like you've always had arch problems, so my guess is you've always had flat feet or low arches, yep. And as we go through life, unfortunately, we do get fallen arches and flatter feet, and our feet actually do grow, and that's because as we're going through our lifetime, the arches will and the ligaments to the arches will stretch out. So our feet aren't actually growing, but the feet do get longer, and that leads to lower arches and also weaker tendons, especially on the inside of the foot. There's a tendon that I call the arch holder upper tendon that's called the posterior tibial tendon. And that arch holder upper tendon can get weak, and it can get overworked over time, and your arch can drop. So certainly you need to get that looked at, and that would be one thing. The other thing with the swelling, obviously if it's swollen and painful, that's not normal. And if it's swollen, you could have stretched, torn, or injured the plantar fascia or muscles in the bottom of your foot. And anytime you get swelling, you should elevate, ice, and just... if it doesn't go away in short order, remember the acronym RICE, okay? Rest, ice, compression, elevation until you get to a doc. And then get in there and let's take a look and see what's going on with your foot. Do you have a weak tendon, weak ligaments? Does it need some treatment to get that swelling, get you back walking? Because a month is a long time already. So get it looked at, okay?
What do you do if it is a fallen arch? I mean, I've been using foot inserts, and they seem to help, but they don't totally solve it.
You're absolutely right. Depends upon the age. It depends upon the challenge that you have. Bring the arch supports with you. We'll see how they're designed. That's for sure. But in general, our goal is to make you walk comfortably pain-free. So even if you have a flat foot and a fallen arch and you can function and do all normal activities, that's great. So we just want to get rid of your pain and swelling.
Thank you, Kay. Okay, we're going to Jessica in Hadley, Massachusetts. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Jessica in Hadley, you're on, Jessica.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling to find out what are some of the treatments for bunions. I've had bunions for most of my life that I can remember, and have never had any treatments, but I'm thinking about going to see someone. And I want to get an idea of what some of the range of treatments there are, both surgical and non-surgical.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Jessica. May I ask how old you are?
I'm 58.
Okay. So your bunions are on both feet?
Yeah.
Do they hurt you?
My feet hurt, yes. And, every day.
And Doug, would you tell everybody what a bunion is?
Yeah, we're going to... Great. No, thank you for doing that. So let me explain, Jessica, what a bunion is and what a bunion is not. First of all, everybody thinks that the bunion is a growth of a bone on the inside of the foot near the big toe joint, and it starts to protrude. So it's actually not a bigger bone. It's a bone that's moving from one spot to another spot. So if you take your finger and bend the knuckle isn't bigger, it's just in a different spot. So what happens, you have an hereditary predisposition based on your family genetics and history to develop a bunion. And what that is that first metatarsal and great toe joint, there's a saying in physics, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So as your foot goes through its normal walking and that first metatarsal near the big toe joint starts to move where you start to see it protrude, then your big toe starts to move the opposite way and you get this angle there. And the larger it gets, then the more it protrudes, but that's just the bone spreading or splaying out. So understanding that, Jessica, is the first thing. A bunion is a bone that's moved out of position. So when you understand that, then you can say, okay, you're a 58-year-old female, and if you came to my office, the first thing we would ask you, does your bunion hurt? And if you said no, then we might say, just live with it. And the treatments that are conservative are very limiting because you're not going to fix your bunion with a splint or a strap or anything that you put on it, but you can accommodate it in wider shoes, bigger shoes, maybe some paddings, things like that, an occasional injection to reduce inflammation. If it is painful, Jessica, then the person you go to should be experienced in bunion surgeries. We call it hallux valgus correction. That's the medical term for a bunion. And the surgical procedures are designed to move that bone over so it's right next to the one it was next to previously and straighten that everything out so it's in line. And those are done with really wonderful techniques nowadays as opposed to the old techniques that were done when you and I were kids. They really were not so good. Now the procedures are, they preserve the joint, they keep the range of motion, they allow you back to activities, you know, often ambulating on your foot back within 2 weeks nowadays. So a lot of good correction, but go to somebody that has a lot of experience and does it regularly. That's the key for you.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
thank
Jessica.
You, Jessica. Okay. And now we'll be going to Dorothy in Schenectady. All right, Dorothy, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I am calling because I have hallux rigidus, which is the other version. I've had it for 15 years, and I've put it off. I've been told by doctors, I was told by them years ago, that I would end up with a surgery. And I put it off to about the point that I can put it off, but I'm in great pain now. And so I'm wondering, have the surgeries changed in the last 15 years? Because my prognosis was, yes, we will make your foot rigid, but you'll be able to do sports again, to put it simply.
And Dorothy, how old are you?
I'm 53.
53, okay. So let me explain what hallux rigidus is. There's two different things you can get at the bunion joint area. The one is a bunion, which is the big protrusion. The other is arthritis. And when the big toe joint gets really stiff and painful, that's a hallux rigidus deformity. So when one walks, they should have 65 degrees of motion. And hallux rigidus or arthritic joints basically end up with almost no motion, somewhere between 65 and zero. As it gets close to zero, you have a rigidus. So the procedures nowadays, there's really two or three that are done. They're excellent in relieving pain. They're excellent at allowing you to get back to activities. The number one procedure we do in our practice is a fusion of the great toe joint, which basically puts the two ends together and makes them one, internal fixation, little screws in the inside of the area. You don't have any pins or wires coming on the outside. And you already have very little motion, but you do have pain. Once the pain goes away,
right,
you'll have the same ability to walk. The end joint on your toe will move. The joint behind your bunion joint will move. Your ankle will move. So you'll function just as good as you are, but without the pain. So non-surgical treatments, they're a little more challenging. Cortisone injections, orthotics, pain management with creams and rubs, things like that. But if you've had it 15 years and it still hurts, get it fixed. The fusions or implants are very good procedures. We prefer the fusions over the implants.
Right. Okay, I've been told the implants don't work long term. But in any case, thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dorothy, good luck.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We have Doug and Debbie and Frank and Bob to talk to, and we'll be right back.
Support comes from New York Oncology Hematology announcing Ask the Expert event about BRCA diagnosis Monday, August 14th at 6 p.m. in conjunction with the American Cancer Society and D's Kids. NewYorkOncology.com for information. Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the Capital Region, practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital, ACTSURG.com. Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs, edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products, and gifts, waterwheelvillage.com. and from Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls. More than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward. DLSPECHT.com.
Back on the Vox Pop Medical Monday with Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates, and he's joined us today. So we'll do a lot of calls. Let's go right to them. Let's go to Doug in Springfield. All right, Doug, you're on. What do you got?
Well, my question is I am 38, overweight, like most of us in America, and I stand on my feet from anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day on hard concrete floors in the hospital setting. And I've tried multiple sneakers and clog-type shoes, and I'm wondering if there's anything else in the doctor's opinion that may work for somebody who stands all day with very sore feet.
Doug, it's a good question, and we have the same namesake, so I'd love to help you, but it's challenging for sure. Let me just take a step back here. We're not meant to do the jobs that we do with our bodies. This industrial revolution is new to our bodies. We go back in evolution. We stood on fields and farms and things like that, and now we're forced to stand on concrete floors, and the whole world is concrete nowadays, and concrete wasn't even really started until the beginning of the 1900s. So we're the first generations going through this, and we're failing miserably based on all the implants in the knees, replacements, hips, and so on and so forth, and people like yourself that suffer with foot pain. So yeah, there are some better brands of sneakers. I know you've tried a lot of things. There's one out there nowadays called Hoka, H-O-K-A. They have a very thick sole. You might want to try those, Doug. You also should change shoes frequently, different shoes every other day. You could try work boots. I'm not sure if they're going to help you much. And you might want to try some really good orthotic inserts or good cushioned inserts. But you're in a bind. You're 38 years old, and you know I have difficult conversations with my patients, and one of them is this the right job for you? Is there anything else you can do? Because you don't want to be in pain the rest of your life, you know? So I know it's hard to lose weight. That's a long-term goal. Short-term, you know, you got to start to think about what else can I do? You may want to visit somebody and find out if there's a good orthotic that can help you, but it's challenging.
And if he loses the weight, will that help?
Absolutely. I would just ask anybody, pick up a 5 or 10 pound box and walk around with it for 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You get tired. Your feet get tired when you're overweight. We take 20, 30, 50 pounds off. That's a big burden lifted off our bodies, and our feet really do respond to that. If you have other foot problems. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
The other question, the clog type shoes, I have,
Danskos?
I can't remember the condition it's called, but where I have two toes longer than my big toe. So one of the things I've tried is trying to find some way to keep my feet from sliding, where I'm jamming my toes into the toe of the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any type of, sock or shoe sole, insole that would help from the foot from sliding constantly forward and just banging that front toe, the two front toes where I've kind of lost? I don't know, it feels like I'm losing sensation or being bruised so often.
No, absolutely. And you should obviously go up in shoe size. When you have longer second and third toes, everybody fits the shoes for the big toe. But you really need to go back to the store. And next time you get shoes, try on shoes a half and full size bigger, Doug. See if that helps.
Hey, Doug, a lot of people behind you. We're going to let you go. Thank you so much for your very interesting call. Okay, we'll go down to Debbie in Gilderland. Okay, Debbie, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I have two problems. Can you hear me good?
Yes.
Okay. The bunion that you're talking about, that's that bump, that bone right beside the big toe, the outer part.
Yep.
Right on the foot. Well, I've had it all my life, but for some reason it got a little bigger and very painful. Now, I can't even wear my shoes. I've been wearing flip-flops all summer. It's gone away a little bit, the pain. What did you say again about what's going on? I don't need surgery for that, do I?
Sometimes you do, unfortunately, Debbie. When that bone starts to protrude, either on the inside of your foot near the big toe or the outside near the small toe, that's a deformity, and you're either going to have to find shoes that accommodate you different than flip-flops, or you're going to have somebody look at it to determine if you're a good candidate to alleviate that deformity and fix it. And the deformity, once gone, will allow you to, you know, basically get back to the shoes of your choice for the most part.
It has eased up, though. Now, will it come and go throughout life? I'm 62.
Well, you know, you made it this far. Hopefully you can make it another 38 years.
Debbie, you had a second problem? Debbie, you had a second problem?
Wait, no, I fell and I have heel pain. That was my main question.
Heel pain, common, and when you fall and have heel pain, you could have injured many things. Often it's a contusion or bursitis under the heel. Plantar fasciitis is something else that you could have created for yourself. You know, please, with both of your problems, get into a good foot specialist, Debbie, and let them look at you.
Okay? Thank you, Debbie. Okay, and now let's go to Frank in Clifton Park. Okay, Frank in Clifton Park, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a problem that to me sounds like a bunion, but it's not near my big toe. It's on the other side of my foot. Mm-hmm. I would say it's about 60% down from my, towards my heel. It's past halfway. Mm-hmm. And there's a bone there, mm-hmm. and that bone seems to have gotten bigger, mm-hmm. and it's getting really sore.
Okay. So the bone on the outside of your foot, there's two bones that would stick out. One is near the small toe, the joint behind that, but yours sounds further back, which is the fifth.
Yeah, it's further down.
Fifth metatarsal base. So it's the natural bone structure of your foot where that bone on the outside can protrude a little bit. If it's larger now, Frank, you either have inflammation there or more protrusion. That area generally is not surgically corrected. Sometimes an injection will help reduce swelling in the area. Anti-inflammatories, icing, or other over-the-counter remedies, topicals, or what have you. Try those, but also you have to make sure your shoes fit comfortably. But that is something you may have to have looked at if it doesn't get better. It is not a bunion you're talking about, but it is a protrusion of a bone. You're absolutely right. So go get it checked out. You may need a quick cortisone shot to get the swelling down.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, so now that raises an interesting question. You get those shots or you take the anti-inflammatories. Those aren't cures. They'll just mask the pain, right?
Depends on what the condition is.
Really?
Oh, yeah. For plantar fasciitis, you can cure it. If there's an inflammation in a joint, you can cure it just like, you know, arthritic changes.
Wow.
Or it can be temporary depending upon, you know, if you go back to the high pointy shoes that are 6-inch, you know, you might hurt yourself again. But
you can say that again. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We go to Bob in Hudson. Bob in Hudson, go.
I'm on Bluetooth, so I'm going to just try to ask the question. I'll take the answer off the air, and I'll turn down the radio very quickly. If you have an orthotic, and you have a good running shoe like Brooks, how long is the orthotic to last? Do you have it forever, or should you change it every few years? When do you get a different device? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Good question. And it certainly depends on the individual, how much running you're doing. But in my runners, I would change it at no longer than 2 years, if possible. So please, whoever you got them from, go look into getting new ones. Part of the reason is as you're pounding, running 3 to 5 times your body weight, even on a fairly rigid orthotic, you're going to get some deformation of the shell or materials that will get wear and tear. So you can move those on down the line to a less worn shoe, but in your daily running shoes or daily shoes, if you have orthotics, every couple of years is a good opportunity to change them.
Now, in the old days, when I first started getting orthotics, they make you step in the stuff, mm-hmm. then they take the thing. Mm-hmm. Is that infinitely preferable to buying them over the counter?
Oh, yeah. There's many places to get arch supports, over-the-counter arch supports. Dr. Scholl's, don't want to plug him. You know, they're not custom, so they're basically size 8, size 9, size 7.
Right.
You know, for the most part, there are a couple of good brands out there. But what we do in our office is we take a fiberglass casting in a neutral position. And by doing that, we can build it in a prescription, just like your glasses have a prescription.
Right.
And it's very important to be able to minimize excessive pronation or minimize excessive, you know, deformity in the foot, and you can really make a huge difference with orthotics.
And what causes pronation again?
It's really who your parents are.
Right,
loose ligaments, or it's a pronation, as Alan asked, is when your foot rolls to the inside. The foot ordinarily should walk heel to toe straight,
yeah,
without too much inside rolling. But a lot of people, when you watch them walk from behind, you'll see their foot fall to the inside. Like a duck, the foot will turn out and roll in, all that stuff,
right,
which really puts a lot of strain on knees, backs, and feet.
Okay, we'll go now to, okay, Erica in Highland. Erica, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. I was diagnosed a couple years ago, and I don't remember what they called it, but there are these two small bones underneath the basically the ball of the foot, mm-hmm, that have in my foot migrated, so they're now in between my first and second toes. Mm-hmm. And they cause quite a lot of pain. And aside from stop wearing heels, I didn't really get any kind of long-term advice for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if there's any advice that you can give me.
Sure, Erica. Well, first of all, may I ask your age?
29.
29. Okay. Do you have a bunion on your foot?
Nope.
No? Okay. So, you know, usually those two little bones on the bottom of the ball of the foot are called sesamoid bones, S-E-S-A-M-O-I-D. And you probably had what's called sesamoiditis, which is an inflammation of the bones on the bottom of the foot and the soft tissue in that area. So typically what is done for those, if they remain painful, depending on which one of them is painful, we offload them, which means we try to minimize the amount of pressure that is put on them, either through an in-shoe orthotic. We have to make sure they're not ship broken or fractured. That's important too, because sometimes they are. A little malalignment's not a big deal unless they're causing arthritic change in the bottom of your foot under the big toe joint. So this really needs to be investigated further. It was about 18 months ago. Recommend you go get it looked at again to see what it is now. Is it the same thing and how it should be treated, because you're young and you have foot pain. So that's what you have, sesamoiditis or sesamoid pathology, and it should be looked at.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Right. And now we go to Linda in Albany. Okay, Linda in Albany, you're there.
Hello?
Hi, Linda. Hi, Linda.
How are you?
I think we're okay.
Thanks for taking my call, and I'm hoping you can give me some advice. I had a bunionectomy osteotomy done about 20 years ago on my left foot, and it turned into quite a big problem. I ended up with a non-union. Then I turned into an iliac crest bone graft, and then it turned into reflexive body dystrophy. So it was quite an involved process and left me with residual pain in that foot. I worked my way through it and come back pretty strong and have done quite a great deal of activity since that ordeal many years ago. But now I have a bunion on my right foot that is really painful, and obviously I don't want to go down that road again. So I would very much like to see if I could get some sort of a treatment that wouldn't be involving actually doing that break of that bone. Do they shave the bunion, and is that appropriate in my case?
Good question. You went through a lot, Linda, and obviously 20 years ago, techniques and procedures have changed dramatically since then. And with techniques with fixation, rigid internal fixation, it's so unusual to get a non-union nowadays. A non-union is where a bone just doesn't heal. It could have been a medical issue or it could have been a fixation issue. Who knows why? And what you had with the RSD, which is now called complex regional pain syndrome, is quite a lot to go through as well. So of always, in your case, doing the most conservative procedures possible would be best, but usually just shaving the bone is not what's best, but there's a possibility that can be done. So, you know, you really need to get to somebody that is I call a bunionologist or a bunion specialist that can really evaluate you well, someone who's in the operating room all the time fixing bunions on a regular basis, because that's what you need to see what can be done. There are newer procedures that can help you without maybe an osteotomy as well. So certainly get it looked at. Possibly just settling it down with a cortisone injection might be a benefit, you know, as well for a while.
So, do you have such specialists in your practice, Doug?
Oh, yeah. We do a tremendous amount of foot surgery. We have a residency program where we train residents. People come from all over to get foot surgery in our practices. Yeah, we're very fortunate.
Okay. Well, Linda, thank you very much.
I appreciate your call and your time. Thank you very much for your advice.
Good luck, Linda.
Okay. Let's see here. We're going to go now to Kelly in Florida. Kelly, you're in Florida, New York.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. So, I fell in December and severely sprained my ankle and was in an immobilization boot. And since that time, it healed well, but my ankle is now a barometer for the weather. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I want to know is, and I know it's going to rain this week, just because, and it's a deep, like, bone ache. Mm-hmm. How long can I expect this to last? And, or is this just going to be the way it is? The other thing is, as a result of the sprain, I ended up with plantar fasciitis mm-hmm. in the opposite foot. And other than stretching, supportive footwear, and trigger point massage, is there anything else I can do for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, thank you for the weather report. I'll bring my umbrella this week. That's always helpful. But anyway, here's the thing. You have an ankle injury, and you still have pain 7 months later, or maybe 8 months later.
Only when it's going to rain.
Right. So, you know, the challenge is, what didn't heal? You know, what didn't heal fully, and is this a permanent injury? And the answer is, these things should heal fully. So my question to you would be, have you had an MRI done?
No.
Okay. You may want to go back with residual discomfort and ask for an MRI to see if one of two or three things are present. One, did you injure cartilage in the ankle? That's called a Taylor dome lesion. And that can have a long-term effect. Did you have an injury to a ligament that didn't heal properly? Is there still any swelling inside the ankle or contusion left on a bone? So these are things that potentially an MRI might pick up, and I would recommend you get into somebody and potentially look at that, because you do want to get this thing better, so at least within the year you don't have the weather issue anymore and the plantar fasciitis issue. You favored your foot, you walk differently, you create strain. You may want to try some physical therapy, get into a PT, or get into a podiatry office and look at what more can be done for you, because there are so many treatments that can be done.
Thank you, Kelly.
There are more. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Dr. Doug Tooman. That's that.
Support comes from Blue Sky Bicycles, Saratoga Springs, now offering electric bikes to the Capital Region featuring pedal assist bikes with test rides available, blueskybicycles.com. Nathan LaTower Hospital, Gloversville, New York, announcing new primary care center on Main Street in Fonda, opening soon, nlh.org. The Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, presenting Pete M. Wire's iForest, an immersive sound experience, wildcenter.org for details. George Propane, Goshen, Massachusetts, family-owned and operated for over 75 years, serving Western Massachusetts with propane and full-service heating and plumbing installation, services, and deliveries, georgepropane.com. And from Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, honoring founder Jim Cusack, continuing his work for over four decades and four generations, helping the chemically dependent and their families battle addiction, villaveritas.org.
Okay, Doc, I'm going to take two very quick emails. But before I do, why don't you just give me so that we're getting questions about how people get in touch with you.
Great. So website's always easiest. It's Hudson Valley Foot Associates, and the website is hvfa.com, hvfa.com. And we do have eight offices from Albany down to Wappingers, New Windsor. And so we're everywhere with really good docs, different docs.
Well, that's great. Okay. Yeah. Here's one. Hello. I have a torn posterior tibial tendon for almost 2 years. My ankle specialist and I opted not to have surgery due to the uncertainty of the outcome. I've had a Ritchie brace for almost a year and find it works great. I walk about miles a day over all kinds of terrain and have lost 40 pounds over the last 6 months. If I do too much, my ankle is sore at the end of the day, but I take a couple of ibuprofen daily. Question, do you think my tendon can heal itself? What a long-term prognosis for using the brace and continuing the way I am? And that's from Chris.
Hey, Chris, I know this is an email call, email write-in. So, yeah, you're doing great. The posterior, not trivial tendon, posterior tibial tendon is a very important tendon holding the arch up, and the Ritchie brace will take the stress off that tendon. Long-term prognosis is excellent. Whether or not the tendon heals fully is to be determined, but as long as you can do what you're doing, you should be able to do that forever, and if you can't, then you can look into repairing it later by different types of techniques. So I wouldn't worry about it. I would just do your life.
And we heard from Jerry, who says, we have an elderly female friend who is suffering from this. Could the doctor address a few questions? Oh, it's called purple toe syndrome. What is the cause? Is a podiatrist the right doctor to address this? And what are the treatments available for the syndrome? She is on many meds, including Coumadin. Thanks in advance.
A tough one on a senior citizen to diagnose over the phone. There's so many causes of
purple toe. What is purple toe?
Well, usually it's venous congestion. So venous stasis, which means that the blood comes down through the arteries,
right,
but it doesn't leave through the veins as well as it should. So you get what's called stasis, and then you can get little purplish changes at the ends of the toes.
Is it dangerous?
Not usually, but then the other part of it is that if it's arterial and you don't have enough blood coming down and it's painful, it can be very dangerous. Then you have to see a vascular doctor. It's really difficult to diagnose that, but a podiatrist would be a great person to start with. They will tell you if you have peripheral vascular disease, ischemia, if you need to see a specialist, vascular doctor or not. So, yeah, it's a great place to start, but it really needs to get looked at.
Okay, Tina in Sheffield, you're on. Go ahead, Tina. Tina going once. you held on for a long time, Tina. Tina in Sheffield, I feel badly for you. Okay, but you're gone. All right, let's go to Amy in Glenmont. Amy in Glenmont, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a quick question. I am going to need bunion surgery. I'm seeing a podiatrist right now here in Albany. Other people I know have had a surgery done by a orthopedic surgeon who specializes in feet. How do I choose?
Good question, Amy. And actually, my book that'll be out in about 6 months goes through a whole chapter on this. Yes, it'll be called Ask the Foot Doctor, but it's not out just yet. But that is a common question. So here's the important thing. You can have a really competent, great foot surgeon. You can have a really competent, great orthopedic surgeon. You can have a really incompetent foot surgeon. That's a podiatrist. A really incompetent orthopedic surgeon that fixes bunions. Here's the key. You have to go to somebody that does this all the time. So basically, if you wanted to have your eye fixed, you'd go to an eye doctor. You know, really simple. You have a tooth problem, you go to a dentist. So you just want to make sure the doctor you're going to, when they go to the OR, they're fixing feet all the time. They're not doing elbows, knees, and hips. So if your orthopedist right. that you enjoy is an orthopedic foot specialist, that's great. If the podiatrist that you go to is a podiatrist that is board certified and is in the OR weekly fixing bunions, and you have happy people that are giving you recommendations, and you know the community has recommended this person based on years of good results, that's who you go to. So they both can be excellent, and they both can be really bad. So
okay. Well, thank you for that. Very good.
I hope that helps, Amy.
Yeah. Joe Donahue has just arrived, our estimable star. Joe, you have a headline you'd like to read.
Well, the New York Times is reporting, as are most other news organizations, that President Trump has decided to remove Anthony Scaramucci from his position as communications director. And as of right now, it is unclear whether Mr. Scaramucci will remain employed at the White House in another position or will leave the White House entirely. And obviously, we'll have more on this story coming up at 3 o'clock.
Sure. Thank you, Joe, as well as commentary. Here's my commentary. Cool. Okay.
He's divorced by his wife and now by Mr. Trump.
Boy. Well, that didn't last. That was record time.
I guess Mr. Kelly got his way, huh?
I guess so. I guess so. One could only imagine that what was going on is, you have to report to Kelly, and
right.
I'm not doing that. Right. Well, then you have to go. Well, who knows? We don't know that. Okay, back to ankles. and feet. Let's go to Leo in Shelburne, Massachusetts. Leo is on the air. Leo, that's you,
yes,
right?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm asked if the doctor could talk about Morton's neuroma, what kind of treatments are possible, and is acupuncture something that's in the realm of consideration?
Cool. So let me explain to everybody what Morton's neuroma is.
Yeah.
Morton's neuroma is an enlarged, pinched, painful nerve in the ball of your foot, usually between the ball of your foot, the third and fourth toes, or the ball of the foot between the second and third toes. And it becomes very painful because it's nerve. So
which
normally,
way are we counting from when we count toes?
We count from the big toe is one, the little toe is number five.
Gotcha.
Okay, the pinky is number five. So basically in the ball of your foot, you have nerve endings, and as we walk and do our life, sometimes they get irritated, swollen. So ordinarily, if you looked at a normal nerve in an operating room, it would look like a very thick piece of dental floss, maybe a little thicker than that, white and glistening. And when it gets to be a neuroma, it looks like a little chewed up piece of dental floss. It's abnormally thick, and it becomes painful. It's scar tissue and fibrosis of the nerve. And it can be intermittently painful. It can be painful all the time. It can come and go. Based on shoes or activities. But for treatments of that, when you come into our office, we diagnose a Morton's neuroma. We'll typically do conservative therapies first. That will consist of potentially nerve blocks or corticosteroid injections where we put medicine around the nerve in an attempt to shrink the size of it, get the scar tissue go down, offloading it with orthotics, pads, things like that to reduce the pressure on the nerve, change of shoe gear, anti-inflammatories potentially, acupuncture. I haven't seen a lot of great results with acupuncture, but anything can be helpful. If you've already tried other things, it certainly can be attempted. And then the things that we do in our office, we'll do a procedure called cryosurgery, where we freeze the nerve if it doesn't respond to conservative therapies, or the tried-and-true long-term procedure is called the neurectomy. We actually take out the bad piece of nerve. We just release it so it's not impinged anymore. So, Leo, hope that helps. But it's very painful for a lot of people, so it does need treatment often.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Leo. All right. So 1-800-348-2551. We will now go to, Jeremy in Middlebury, Vermont. Jeremy, thanks for calling from way up there.
Yeah, well, you just answered my question because my question was about Morton's neuroma, which I just self-diagnosed a couple of days ago. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Any home remedies like a little Morton salt or something like that?
Well, you can soak your foot in Epsom salts. Mm-hmm. The magnesium salts are always helpful. But just make sure that you get a second opinion from your self-diagnosis so you make sure you're dealing with the right thing. But wider shoes, chain shoes frequently, thick soles, nothing too pointy, narrow. Try to avoid being barefoot, you know, for a couple of few months in the house even. Protected anti-inflammatory tofersen is a good topical to put on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
what's the anti-inflammatory?
Tofersen.
T-O-P-R-O-C-I-N, made by really great people in the Hudson Valley. It's a really good topical anti-inflammatory analgesic pain cream. And hopefully that will help.
Great. Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you. Big run on Morton's neuroma today. Mm-hmm. You know what SDS stands for?
Same-day surgery?
No. Self-diagnosis stinks.
Which is better.
Okay. We're going to go now to Carol in Lenox. Carol in Lenox. How you doing, Carol?
Yes, hi.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Yes, this is not a very significant problem, I suspect, although I think many people have the problem. I have very narrow heels and a narrow instep, and thus I find it very, very difficult to find shoes that can hold my foot right. Is there anything that shoemakers can do, are there any inserts made that can help this?
That's a challenge, Carol.
Out of the shoe.
It's a really good challenge. By the way, you have the most wonderful, beautiful voice. And
and it hasn't changed. I've known her since we were kids.
Really?
I had flat feet. I had narrow heels and flat feet then. But we had shoe stores that sold narrows.
Yes.
Now it seems to be Ferragamo or SAS. One is too expensive and one's very limited. Is there anything that can be done?
It's really hard for narrow feet. For wider feet, it's easier. For narrow feet, it's hard because they make shoes for the average foot, and that's where the money is, and they really don't make great shoes for narrow feet. You can try New Balance. You can try the brands you just mentioned. Do a search online for narrow foot shoes.
Yeah. But
there really is not a great deal.
Shoemakers, other than...
Yeah, if you find the shoe, you just got to buy a bunch of pairs and stock up.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thanks, Carol.
I also got beaten. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. There is a custom shoemaker that used to do some shoes, but that's an expensive thing.
No, it's expensive, but hey, if it's pain, it's worth it, right?
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to go to Patricia in Saratoga Springs. Okay, Patricia, you're on.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in my middle 50s, and when I was a teenager, I had surgery to correct calluses on the bottom of my foot. Well, one foot turned out okay and one didn't, and it just doesn't really look very pretty, but they function okay.
Yeah.
So I just recently started having, a pedicure. So after about a year of that, my little toe on my left foot seems like it may be infected. I don't know, but I don't know if it's the shoe and maybe a combination of everything. But it's very swollen, and the nail just doesn't appear the nail, when there's polish on it, looks okay, but, normally it just doesn't feel good at all. And I've been trying to deal with it with just wider shoes, but when you talked about the cortisone shot, I thought maybe that might help.
Yeah, I would get it looked at, Patricia. Anytime you have swelling, it's a sign of something not right. And, of course, you mentioned pedicures, and, most pedicurists do a fabulous job, but I certainly have seen on a regular weekly basis ingrowing toenails secondary to pedicures, little infections that brew from little nicks or other things that can develop. Of course, you're not talking about fungus, but fungus that can spread from those things as well. But right now with swelling on the toe, you should get it looked at, see if it does respond to potentially a cortisone injection. If that's indicated, make sure you don't have an ingrowing toenail or anything else that's cooking there, but get it looked at.
Thanks, Patricia. Okay. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But I like to get everybody in. We have quite a few people here.
Absolutely.
You mentioned fungus very quickly. A lot of people have fungus under their toenails. Mm-hmm. How important is it to get rid of it?
That's a good question. If you're young, it's very important. If you're a senior, probably not as important.
Why? Because you're going to die?
Because it's less likely to be treatable.
Oh, I see.
As you get more senior. Very treatable in younger people. As you get into the 80s and 90s, it's going to be harder to cure fungus.
Yeah.
But, certainly we do many things in our office. The three most common treatments we do for fungus toenails, different topical medicines that are prescription or over-the-counter, oral medications on occasion as well. And then we have a great laser that's specifically for toenails and does a great job.
Great. Okay, to Mary in Sunderland. Okay, Mary, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I in my yoga class, I noticed there are some women that have the horrible problem with the bunions, with the toe turning in. And I also work with the elderly, and some of them say, well, you want to look nice, you want to wear pretty shoes, and so I'm all about prevention. Thankfully, I don't have these problems. And, still seeing younger women with these problems and hearing the calls come in, I wonder if in your own practice, if you try to tell women, try to get away from this cultural, thing that tells women they have to shove their feet into these tiny-toed, high-heeled shoes that cause all these foot problems. And I was just wondering if that is something you try to integrate in your practice of preventive medicine to younger women that you see.
Okay, that's a good question. Go ahead, Doug.
It is a good question, then. As much as we do try, and yes, we do, we can't beat the marketing of women in high heel shoes and all the magazines and all the TV shows and Carrie Bradshaw in her on her Louboutins and Jimmy Choo's. So it is a cultural thing, and of course that is something that is in our culture more than other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell everybody, get into sensible shoes.
Would you compare that to
the
Chinese binding the feet?
That was torture. And that thankfully is not done anymore, but it was the beautiful foot was bound for these children, and oh my gosh, the pictures you see is horrible.
Mary, great question. Thank you. All right. And so now we're going to go to Jennifer in Albany. Okay, Jennifer in Albany, you go.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am 35,
I have a large bunion on my left foot. It is periodically very painful, but I also have mild cerebral palsy. I walk with a limp, I toe in, I pronate, but I'm active. You know, it doesn't, the CP doesn't affect my life, but I'm wondering how it would affect my surgical options.
It's going to have to be a fast answer. I'm sorry, Doug, because we're running out of time here.
Jennifer, you really need to see a specialist and have to watch your gait and watch your walk, because it can affect your outcome if you have gait pathology and challenges. So all I can say is procedures are great. You need a great doctor and the right procedure.
And would that be an orthopedist or a podiatrist?
Well,
to
my,
go back to
in my recommendation,
prior
definitely
question.
A podiatrist that specializes in bunion surgery and foot surgery. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry to give you the rush there, Jennifer. We are out of time. Appreciate it.
The recommending podiatrist, we deal with the mechanical issues much in greater detail than others, where they just do the surgery and you never see them again.
Interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. And give me, if you would, Doug, very quickly, give me your email address.
HVFA.com.
HVFA.
HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com.
Okay, that's great. We are out of time. I apologize to Larry and Jean and Nancy because we didn't get to your calls. Thanks, I warned you in the beginning, to Douglas Tubin of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for joining us. Support for the Medical Monday comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs at 5 indoor and outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Beloy. Thanks to Joe Makowitz for answering the phones. Our producers, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for a news update.